Was the Belgian Revolution really revolutionary? That's an interesting question. In many ways, no. If you look at the aftermath of it, very quickly, the what they call the heady days of September, this immediate reaction to the opera and the sort of street fighting that happens, the barricades that are thrown up in Brussels to chuck out the Dutch forces there, those initial reactions, yes, very much revolutionary, quite radical in a number of ways. The characters involved certainly want to take the revolution in a very radical direction. What actually transpires by the end of it is that in order to make the revolution last, in order to make it palatable to the rest of Europe, the more moderate elements of the revolution come to the fore. So, you know, this is all about removing a despotic king, but by 1831, the summer of 1831, the Belgians have brought in King Leopold of Saxe-Coburg to be their constitutional monarch. So, you know, yes, they've got rid of one king, but they've replaced him with another, albeit, you know, with many more constraints on his power. The thing that comes out of the Belgian Revolution that is really a kind of symbol, a beacon of liberalism, is the constitution. It's the most liberal constitution of its age. It's held up as being, you know, a fantastic document and one to aspire to across Europe's freedom of the press is a big key factor. Ministerial responsibility, a number of things that led to the revolution in the first place are upheld within the constitution. But fundamentally, you know, in order to appease both the kind of Catholic elements of the revolution that I mentioned, the clergy, and in order to appease the rest of Europe, which didn't want this revolution and others happening in 1830 to really destabilize Europe, it was recognized that you needed some conservative, more conservative angle to it in order to make it palatable. So it starts off more radical, more revolutionary. It very quickly becomes something other than